Well, we've just pulled up not very far away from Chris's farm, actually. We're sort of halfway between the farm and Norwich. And we're at the entrance to, a gravel pit here.
Yes, Matthew. lots of times in the past when you've been to High Ash Farm, I've explained about the lime, the chalk underneath the farm, and the fact that the farm's very hilly, and all the hills were sort of glacial deposits, a mixture of clay, sands, gravels, lots of stone as well, all mixed in, and that's formed the hills over the top. And on our left-hand side is the River Tass. We're just going into the quarry in a moment.
Those fields were underwater a couple of weeks ago, weren't
yes,
they?
Yes, they were, and the Tass is wonderful. I spent nearly all my childhood there and fishing in the river. And along the bottom of the river, it's pure white. And being a young boy back then, I didn't really know what it was, but you could actually see the fish swimming really clearly. There was beautiful roach, pike, some perch, and occasionally a trout as well, particularly under the big old willow trees that leant right over the river. And so that chalk seam comes under this road, which is the Norwich to Stoke Holy Cross Road. Cars are zipping past us this morning. Everybody's going off to work. And I've been to the quarry here and asked permission if that we can just go in and see what happens in a quarry. So
I'm assuming it's a big hole in the ground.
Well, you might be surprised at what goes on. Right, let's start the car and just drive in, and here we go. It's only a short drive, and it's not public access, but because I'm a regular customer using the products from the quarry.
And you're a neighbour.
And a neighbour. So we're right on the northern boundary of High Ash Farm. If we hopped over the banks, which are all around us, then we'd actually be on High Ash. So here we are, we're just back into this little...
Was this the farm originally here, do you think?
It was, yes. It was all part of the Caister Hall estate, owned by the same lady, which was the vicar's daughter of the parish. Her name was Edith Hawkins, and she sold the quarry a few years back. And here we are, we're just going to the parking bay here. And it's a really interesting sort of geological feature. So we're nearly there. Get out of the way of all the lorries. Big weighbridge is in front of us, and I think it's coffee break time. I can see the diggers all standing waiting because it's a freezing cold morning. Right, out we go. I'll just take this little bag with me. Here we go.
We've walked 5 minutes into the quarry through what I can only describe as a moonscape. I feel really dwarfed here, Chris. We're talking huge excavations, aren't we?
Yes, Matthew. That's why I brought you here. And what we're looking at is the seam of chalk, which is absolutely amazing. It comes in just off the east coast where the Yorkshire Wolds are, and then goes out to sea a little bit, and it's only 10 or 12 miles wide, the chalk belt, and then it comes in just on the North Norfolk coast, and that forms the Brecklands, and it kind of snakes down, comes under Norwich, out High Ash Farm here, and so the farm's just over that side of the quarry, and then sort of snakes again down just past London, north down, south downs. Salisbury Plain, of course, has got chalk underneath it, quite shallow down there, and then finishes with the White Cliffs of Dover. So you get an idea of that sort of chalk line, and chalk is really kind of soft. It's calcium carbonate, so don't confuse it with limestone out in the Peak District, for instance, which is much harder, still calcium carbonate, but chalk is absolutely pristine, pure. It's so easy to forget the importance of chalk in our history as well. The Romans used it here at Caistus and Edmund to cement together the flints with mortar, which is a mixture of chalk or lime and sand, and that's left to ferment. And then later on, we copied it right from the Middle Ages before we started using cement from Portland, and we mixed together sand and lime as well to make the mortar. And that's what most of our old houses are constructed from. And there's a huge quarry just on the outskirts of Norwich at the top of King Street in Norwich, Matthew, and it's at the junction of Brackendale, and it covers about 4 acres, and we think the chalk was dug out from that quite close to Norwich Cathedral, and that's what cements all the blocks of Norwich Cathedral together, so you can see how important it is. And all over Norwich there's tiny chalk quarries that still cause a problem from time to time when foundations just sink down into the underground workings. An amazing history.
I'm in danger of being snow blinded this morning with the sunshine and the blue sky. It is very odd, this sort of feeling here, isn't it? There's a huge shed behind us. I guess that's where they put the excavated stuff before sending it off.
That's right, because years ago there was an old burner here, a diesel burner, and they used to dry the chalk to make it into lime, and then the lime was spread out on agricultural land all around us in this part of Norfolk. So lime would come out from here every day. Lorries would go out and the lime would be spread on the ground, and particularly in the post-war years the government wanted to increase home food production, Matthew, and to do that they wanted the soil improved, and a lot of Norfolk soils, particularly up in Breckland area, is quite acidic, and so if you add chalk to it or lime after it's been through the treatment process, it neutralizes the acidity and improves the fertility of the soil absolutely hugely. The difference between acidic soil growing crops on and neutral or alkaline soils is colossal, particularly for cereals, which remove a lot of calcium. Obviously in the grain there's calcium as well, so very, very important. And the government decided to subsidize lime production. And so farmers, instead of liming the field just 1 year to correct soil acidity, the subsidies were so generous, they limed the fields 2 or 3 years running, and then caused a huge problem because there are other tiny elements in the soil, things like magnesium and manganese. So there's an old saying in Norfolk, with subsidies they limed with ease and buggered up the manganese. And so it then caused trace element deficiencies because the lime displaced a lot of the trace elements. And anyway, this huge aircraft hangar, because that's what it is in front of us, is just there to dry the chalk that's been excavated. If we walk on a little bit further, you almost need a parachute on, because if we go too far, we drop down into the quarry, which is a good 100 feet beneath us.
Oh yes, we're really high up here. I mean, this is a deep hole, isn't it?
Absolutely colossal, and it's been dug over, well, getting on for 100-odd years now. When the quarry was first opened, my father, who was born just on the other side of the river Tass, where we just started our look at this quarry, it was just big enough to turn a horse and cart round in, and all the lime was loaded by hand. And now the quarry is as big as you can see, but you can see the chalk layer on the other side of this huge chasm in front of us. It looks like the the Grand Canyon. It's an amazing structure, and you can see the horizontal layers of flint, and flint is a kind of impure form of quartz. So although, you know, quartz is very white and crystalline, well, flint's a different product of it, and you have these horizontal line of flints all the way around the edge of the quarry, all the way around, dead level. And what is surprising is chalk is almost pure calcium carbonate, as I mentioned, and it's formed in the sort of one of the prehistoric eras, the sort of 65 million years ago it stopped to about 135 million years ago it started. And so during that period, a lot of the limestone in the Peak District was formed, and the chalk seems to have been really recent. It's a very young product, if you like, and it kind of got swept in this big arc across the British Isles in a very short time indeed. So whether there was a cataclysmic event or the geologists don't actually know, because it happened very quickly. Right. So there we are.
So quite a violent one. And all the flint, I mean, there's some huge blocks of flint here, and it's the building material that many parts of Norfolk provide buildings, isn't
it? Yes, of course, flint is widely used, and when the quarry was really going, the flint was a kind of byproduct in the 1950s and 60s, and they had a mountain of flint, which was on the other side of the quarry here, many, many thousands of tons. They didn't know what to do with it, because some of the flints are, well, as big as a horse's head. Incredible. I
mean, we're going back to medieval times when it was a primary building.
Yes, of course.
Stone.
And then it just fell out of fashion.
I love napped buildings.
Yes, I know. And so, so beautiful. Many of the churches in Norwich are made of flint. And you're just trying to pick one off the ground and it's frozen solid.
It's stuck.
If I give it a kick, it might... There we go.
It's been shattered, though, and
yes,
it's black on the inside, isn't it?
That's typical of flint. It always is black, and it's got this white coating on the outside of it. But it's very beautiful. It's almost translucent, look. The early morning sun is shining on it, and it's really beautiful.
And to explain, flint nappers, to nap the flints, they will cut, very skillfully, cut these into faceted, flat-sided... building blocks, weren't they?
Yes, and beautifully made, with hardly a mortar joint between them. Some of the really fancy churches, it's just amazing to
Norwich
see.
Norwich Guildhall?
Of course, and right, that's a prime example. And it's, of course, then it was used in early weaponry, flintlock guns as well, where you actually struck the flint against a piece of steel and hopefully you got a spark that would ignite the gunpowder and let the gun go. So it's had lots and lots of uses over the millennia. But that huge mountain of these massive flints,
oh, there's some down here, look.
Yes, the company didn't know quite what to do with them, and so they more or less gave them away when Norwich's Southern Bypass was built. And almost exactly at that time they found a new use for it, which was partly ornamental and partly for flint nap buildings, not with the old hitting it with a hammer without your goggles on, but just on the other side of where we're standing, there's a flint napping machine, and you put the flint in, all done mechanically, and a little sort of knife comes down, a hydraulic knife, and splits it, and you get an absolutely perfect working surface. So instead of being the byproduct, I love it. Look at the size of those. I mean, if I gave you one, you just couldn't lift it. They're probably 200 kilos each.
Well, if you think a big beach ball, and a lot of those are bigger than that, aren't
they?
They're enormous, and they've been put in a pile just for that use. Though.
Yes, for that use, and so it'll go to the other side, which is the gravel side of this quarry, and be used for that. But it's got a lot of history, and I'm always fascinated by. But what I want you to look at is just on the horizon, on the other side of the quarry, that's High Ash Farm over there, and this chalk layer is what's under the farm, and it's hugely important because it's full of water, glacial water. Some of it's been there since the last ice age, and water from under us is being pumped out into Norwich. And if you turn your tap on and you notice the water's a little bit hard and your kettle gets furred up, then that's the reason it's filtered through this chalk bed. So absolutely amazing what nature did all those millennia ago, probably 65 to 135 million years ago.
Now, we have to say, Chris, that flint, although it's very common here, isn't the only thing that you find amongst the chalk layer, is it?
No, I've bought you a special treat. So it's thanks to Peter Squirrel, who who helps to run the quarry here, and he knows I'm interested in geology, so he gave me something. He didn't sort of say anything, but he handed it over to me, and I've got it in my little bag here, and I'm just going to hand that over to you, and I want you to be very careful with it, because it is extremely heavy.
Oh, it's a block of stone. Oh, my word, it is heavy. Good gracious.
Oh. And that's the top of it here. You can see the chalk. And Peter was walking along one of the walls, the chalk walls, and he noticed all the way down the chalk wall was a brown line. And at the bottom of the line, laying on the ground in front of him, was that. And it's a meteorite.
A meteor? It's fallen from outer space at some time.
Yes, exactly. And it is absolutely stunningly beautiful. It's got copper in it.
Yeah, there's lots of green there.
Yes, lots and lots of different minerals. And you can see the line where it came through the atmosphere and semi-melted it. And this is one of the sides that came through the atmosphere. Chunk has been taken off there to go to the university to be analysed, and it has been confirmed as a genuine meteorite. And that brown line down the chalk face is the hole that the meteor made. It went over 100 feet through the Earth's surface, so it was going at a fair rate of knots.
Well, it feels like a block of iron, doesn't it? It's so dense.
It's actually fits in the palm of your hand. It is 2.3 kilograms, so you've got 2.5 bags of sugar in your hand, if you like. It's incredibly heavy, and the geologists think they've worked out how old it is, and they think that meteorite has done more miles than all the cars that have ever been and all the aeroplanes put together, and that doesn't even touch the size and how many miles is on that meteorite's clock. Absolutely amazing.
And this fell somewhere near where we're standing.
Yes, it's just very close to where we were. That brown line down the chalk was the hole that the meteor made, and then it filled in with organic material, which left this kind of lightning scar on the side of the chalk face, and that was laying at the bottom. Peter tried to pick it up and had to have two or three goes because it was so heavy in its original form. There you are. Not many days you get to handle that, and it's beautiful in this early morning sunshine. It's just iridescent and beauty. What about that?
What a discovery.
Oh, yes, I think we better take it back very quickly. It's very kind. And thanks to Needham Chalks and Ersham Gravels for permission to come here. And not only that, the quarry's run with wildlife in mind. The old working has been filled in and new sand escarpment's been put round the edge. And I can see on the far side here that there's lots of holes for the sand martins to come and take over on the quarry. They love it in here, and they always fly out over the top of the quarry and visit High Ash Farm looking for the insects on the pollen and nectar field. Tiny little brownish birds with a white chest and a brown band across just beneath the beak. So they're working with wildlife here as well. And just outside the little office, there's an old broken post box, but there's a big note on it: do not disturb, pied wagtail nesting. What about that?